Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 2 tonight. 1 Samuel chapter number 2. There are a lot of lessons to be learned in the Old Testament. The days and hour that we live in, we sometimes hear men say things about, you know, kind of staying over in the New Testament. Not much in our circles, but I believe that all the Bible was given for us. All of the Bible is not written to us. And you can get in a mess if you forget that. Amen. But all of the Bible is written for us, for our admonition and for our learning. And in chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, the Bible said, and, which links the two chapters together, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. So that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifted up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Well, I couldn't help when I read that again this afternoon, just reviewing for the service tonight, to think about what's going on in the world. How that they're trying to develop their nuclear weapons to destroy Israel. Death to Israel. Death to America. The Bible said there's coming a day when the adversaries of the Lord will be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. And Elkanah went to Ramah, to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for the privilege to be here. God, my heart has already been warm tonight. Lord, it's wonderful just to meet with your people and shake hands with your people. And Lord, fellowship with your people. It's wonderful to hear songs that magnify our Lord. Magnify, Lord, the promises that you've made to us in the Scripture. God, you haven't forgotten us. You know where we are. You know what we need. God, I pray tonight, Lord, you'd meet the needs in this auditorium this evening. Lord, I know tonight that there are families that have physical needs. God, how I pray you'd meet the needs. There are families, Lord, that have spiritual needs. God, how I pray you'd meet those needs. Father, I pray that you'd help us as a church tonight to see truth that would cause us to leave a little bit different than when we came in this evening. Thank you, God, for what you did in our midst this morning. But this is another service. And we pray, dear Father, that you'll work again in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, I pray for Brother Brent and his family as they minister the Word of God and minister in song down in Rogersville this evening. I pray, God, for a special touch upon that precious family. And I pray, Lord, tonight you'd touch this preacher, touch our hearts together, touch those, our Father, that are nearing the shore, especially tonight, Sister Carol's brother. God, if he must cross, make his crossing easy. Father, I pray that you'd help us all to look for you and to live for you till you come. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The Word of God is telling us here in the book of 1 Samuel a story about a lady that was barren. She couldn't have children, and she took it to the Lord. I was listening to one of the Sunday school lessons not too long ago, Brother Brian, and you brought something back that I'd said about the difference between worry and concern. And when we worry, we fret and we wring our hands. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Hannah wasn't worrying, but she was concerned. She wanted a baby, amen. And she took it to the one that could do something about it, amen. She took it to the Lord in prayer. And God answered that prayer. And we saw this morning that there was a great, the Bible called it, bitterness of soul. There was a broken woman, a woman that was, my friend, under a tremendous burden. She was being poked, so to speak, and she was being made fun of. And it reminded me of, one of the boys said something to me today at lunchtime. He said, "Preacher," he said, "purity is about gone in our churches." That's what he said, purity. He said, "Purity is just acting, people just act like, well, that's not important anymore." Well, it is too. It's in the Bible, and it's still important, amen. And I believe with all of my heart that if a young person determines to be pure, that they're going to be made fun of, amen, and they're going to be scoffed, and they're going to be scorned. And I know that. I remember years ago, a young lady, the story was told about a young lady in the high school when she was backed up into the corner in the restroom, 12 or 13 girls around her. All of them had already given their purity away. They had already sinned, amen. They had had sex outside of marriage, and they had already sinned against their own body. And they was poking at her and making fun of her. And I never forget the statement that she got out of the corner with and got away from them. She looked at them and said, "I can be what you are anytime I want to be, but you can never be what I am again." That's how important it is, amen, to be pure. And I thank God that Hannah was pure and that she had a pure heart and she could pray to the God of heaven and get a prayer through. And God comes through in mighty power and gives her exactly what she asked for. We saw the burden. We saw the birth of Samuel. We saw the blessing, how that Hannah carried out exactly what she said she would do. She said, "God, you've given him to me." And as soon as he was weaned, she took him down to the house of God and said, "Lord, I'm giving him back to you." Amen. By the way, let me say this tonight. We'll never do too good at giving our children away if we haven't given ourselves away. We first supposed to give our own self to the Lord and realize that we're bought with a price. We're not our own. We don't belong to ourselves. We're to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are the Lord's. Here tonight, we get on down, and what I want to call this is the boasting. This is Hannah's bragging board. Hannah's boasting now. Most of the time when you talk about bragging or you talk about boasting,
You're, my friend, making reference to somebody that's bragging on themselves or boasting in themselves. And I tell you, I don't see herself in this prayer at all. Amen. She's boasting in the God of heaven and bragging on the God of heaven and lifting up the God of heaven. Amen. That's what she's doing. I'll tell you something. Listen to me carefully. In a home, in a church, over there at the school where I'll be in the morning, in a community, in a country, there is no substitute for lifting up the God of heaven. We're living in a generation. So our brother taught Sunday school or preached, whatever y'all call it, in Sunday school, where men have gotten too educated for God. And they act like God's the dummy. They're going to find out one day after a while who the dummy is. They're going to find out who's wise and who's the fool. For many, I believe it'll be too late. Oh, beloved friend, Hannah goes into this prayer. She's bragging on God. And she said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Listen tonight. Already this year, already just around this little old place called Bible Way, God's done enough. I tell you, we ought to be rejoicing in the Lord. We ought to be rejoicing in the good things of God. Amen. And my friend, listen, we ought to be saying, hey, listen, it's not us. It's not our pastor. It's Him. It's the God of heaven. Amen. And rejoicing in Him. If I could save people, I'd just quit preaching tonight and go save them. I mean that. It's the God of heaven that does the saving. Amen. We sow the seed, and the God of heaven gives the increase. We sow and water, but God must give the increase. Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. Let me just say this tonight. I believe with all of my heart, something has changed between the early part of chapter 1 and the early part of chapter number 2. I can see Hannah's enemies now standing over there, my friend, with their mouths shut for a change. That's what we need to do, is so have the touch of God on our home. So have the touch of God on our life. So have the touch of God on our church. So have the touch of God on our ministry, that the enemy would shut up. Amen. And hold their peace. I believe that's possible. And I believe that's what goes on right here. She said, God, you've helped me. You've helped me to win this battle. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies, because I rejoice in thyself. Let me just say this too quickly. I want to move on. One of the reasons Hannah is experiencing this great victory. Listen to me carefully. Already this year, old Slewfoot, remember I told you he is coming. He's going to come along and try to get you sidetracked. He's going to come along and try to get you looking over here. Amen. But I tell you, Hannah didn't look at the enemy. She looked to the God of heaven. She wasn't looking at the one that couldn't do anything. She was looking at the one that could do anything. And she prayed to him. And she took hold of him. And he took hold of her and answered that prayer. I believe we have to choose. Every day. Tomorrow is going to be a day made up of positives and negatives. How many knows that? I mean, this week is going to be a week made up of positives and negatives. But what are we going to concentrate on? I believe one of the reasons, as we preached last Sunday, that those things come along in our lives, He's trying to get us away from fellowshipping with God. He's trying to get us out of the secret place. He's trying to get us to dwell on the negative and forget about the positive. I'll tell you, sometimes, listen, I asked this morning, there was probably 30 or 35 people that stood up across this auditorium. I'm just guessing as I looked out there that had a child that's wayward. And if we're not careful, we'll be so burdened over the child that's wayward, we'll forget to stop and thank God for those that are walking with God and doing something for God. That's what the devil would like to do. He'd like to turn our attention all towards what he's doing and forget about what God's doing. Here in the Bible, it didn't work with Hannah. The Bible said here, she's boasting. She said in verse number 2,
There is none holy as the Lord. Holiness is a Bible doctrine. The Bible said in the book of Malachi, God said, I am the Lord, I change not. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus was holy before the foundation of the world. Jesus was holy in His birth. Jesus was holy in His life. Jesus was holy in His death. Jesus was holy, my friend, listen, in His resurrection. He was holy in His ascension, and He's sitting on the throne of God tonight. Holy! Holy, holy. That's what they're crying in heaven. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. There's none holy as the Lord. She's boasting in the holiness of God. There's none besides thee. A lot of people think there's more than one God, but there's only one. Neither is there any rock like our God. How many can understand in chapter number 1 what's going on in Hannah's life? It's shaky ground. It's enough to shake you up. But listen, she just kept standing and kept standing and kept standing. She was talking to the one, the old songwriter said, how firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord. She was talking to the one, my friend, that was the rock of her salvation. It was her rock. My friend, He's the one that can shore it up and firm it up when no one else can. He's the one we need to look to. The Bible said here, there's none holy as the Lord, for there's none besides thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Verse number 3, talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. I just wish we could get Hannah into the average high school and into the average college. And this letter of my friend take the place of the professor long enough to quote that verse of Scripture. Stop being arrogant. Stop being full of pride. Stop thinking you know everything when the God of heaven has given you everything that you have. By Him, actions are weighed. I see, my friend, Hannah is boasting. She understands something here. She understands that when she doesn't understand, He's still God. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look at some of this stuff. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave. He bringeth up. He maketh poor. He maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. Let me just wrap all this up for you in a verse or two of Scripture out of Isaiah chapter 55. My friend, His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are His ways higher than our ways and His thoughts higher than our thoughts. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, thank God Almighty, we don't have to have Him figured out. To praise Him, praise Him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. I'm telling you, my friend, Hannah understood here that though she doesn't understand all about Him, it's Him that's doing the work. And we need to trust Him. We need to trust Him. I don't know about you tonight. I see things. I preached this morning on children, our heritage of the Lord. What God is saying to us here tonight. Listen, every one of us, especially us mamaws and papaws, let me get an amen from the congregation. When it's our granddaughter that did something real good, or our grandson that did something real good, or our children that do something real good, every one of us grows a hat size or two, don't we? Amen? You better mark it down. I used to go and watch my girls play basketball. One of the hardest things in this world is to stay spiritual while you're watching your own children play basketball. It's hard to do. My wife would turn around and give me that look. How many of you men know what that look is? Amen. Like, calm down. You're going to lose your testimony if you don't chill out. Amen. Been there. Amen. God don't want us bragging.
so much that we forget who gave us our children, who gave us our grandchildren, who gave them the ability. I have a lot of fun talking about Charity Elizabeth playing ball. Elizabeth was the point guard. She could go either way, right-handed, left-handed, behind her back, between her legs. I'm telling you what's true. The prettiest thing you ever seen was when she goes right down the lane and splits the defense, and they kind of collapse on her, and she kicks the ball out there to her sister, and her sister shoots the ball. The ugliest thing you've ever seen is when her sister decided to dribble. It's terrible. You talk about bringing the hat size back down and shrinking it a little bit, amen? It's humbling, amen? I can remember when they first started, Brother Wayne, they were so kind and so gentle. The rebound would come down and they would stand there with the girl on the other team looking at each other and smiling with their hands on the ball. I told him, Brother Brian, on the way home, I said, listen, if you don't either take the ball from them or they take it from you, I'm going to whoop you before I get you home. Amen. This is not time to be nice. Amen. Get the ball. Amen. Say, preacher, why are you mentioning that? Because I'm telling you, I think there's a good pride and there's a bad pride. My children have worked their way through college. I thank God for them. Brother John, you was with me the other day when we went over at my boys. How many times did I tell you I was proud of my boy? He ain't been given anything. He's worked and scrapped and took and sawed logs off of the place that he bought and built his house. It ain't much, but he built it. Amen. He did it. I'm proud of him. Amen. But I don't need to get so proud that I forget who gave me that precious boy, who gave him his hands, who gave him the knowledge, who helped us all the way to where we are right now. I'll tell you something right now. A boy pulled up there one day, him and his wife. I didn't know it, but I was in that little building there above the house. Y'all know what having a spell is. I didn't know they pulled up. See, I can't hear anyway. Y'all know that. Amen. I was in there having me a spell, praising the Lord and worshiping the Lord. And I didn't find out about it till years later. He said, Dad, we was afraid to come in. Kind of like Brother Mark, somebody catching you. Amen. Can I say this? Somebody ought to catch us bragging on Jesus. I tell you right here in the Word of God, right here in this good old King James Bible, we're reading a chapter in the Word of God where Hannah was not only burdened and broken, and Hannah doesn't only have a bird, and Hannah didn't just experience the blessing of obeying the Lord and doing what she told him, but she's experiencing, my friend, a bragging on the Lord and a boasting in him. I'll tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. I've said this before. But our Lord will make much of a church that will make much of Him. If we ever get to the place where we're making more of us than we are of Him, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. But if we'll make much of Him, and I believe that's what our children need to see Mom and Dad doing, making much of Him. When I went with Rock of Ages years ago, when the Lord put it in my heart to do that, we would go from church to church. I was able to line up. I didn't even have a meeting, but on the way home from that week of training down there, I was able to line up a meeting on Sunday morning, a meeting on Sunday night on the way home. And I can remember those days when my girls were sitting in the back. And they were old enough at that time, probably 11, 12, 13 years old. They were old enough at that time to kind of understand, you know, what Daddy's done. He's resigned from the church. And now you say, preacher, what'd you step out with? I stepped out with God. Is that enough or not? Say amen right there. You say, preacher, where was your security? My security was in God. Amen. Where was your supply? My supply was in God. Amen. I'm telling you, God kept us busy. God helped us to raise our support. And we'd go from church to church to church. And I tell you, we would take the offering that they would give us, hand it to the girls, and let them count it in the back seat. You say, preacher, why would you do such a thing as that? Charity, we wanted y'all to know, honey, and you did know, that it was the God of heaven that was feeding us. It wasn't your daddy, but God was coming through. Time after time after time, God was coming through. God wants us like Hannah to boast in the Lord. One of the Psalms, I can't remember which one. I think, Hannah, it's the one you sang. I will not boast of anything. I can't remember the line exactly. But I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Something along those lines. Let me tell you something. We have nothing to boast in except Him. Somebody can say, well, I figured this out. Who gave you the brain? I built this. Who gave you the hands? I went here. Who gave you the feet and the legs? Amen. I'll tell you something right now. I believe He wants to be worshipped and deserves to be worshipped and praised for what He's done for us. And Hannah is not coming short. Hannah, my friend, is magnifying the Lord. If you'll take this passage of Scripture, these first few verses especially, and go over to Mary, the mother of Jesus, I'll tell you what, the comparison, my friend, will shock you. Amen. I'm telling you, when people are in the Spirit and people are magnifying the Lord, they're going to have the same things to say about the same God they serve. He's a wonderful rock. I see not only here the burden, the birth, the blessing, and the boasting. But I want you to turn over here with me. I'm not going to take the time to talk about the wicked sons of Eli and the warning that came to Eli. But I want you to see a text over here. And this is the way we need to be praying. This is the way I want to show it to you. The reason I want to show it to you. The Bible said in verse number 1 of chapter 3, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. Eli was the priest. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see, and ere or before the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. And he ran unto Eli, and he said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again. How many's glad God's in the again ministry? And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Let me just stop right there. The Bible said he did not yet know. I believe we have, as Brother Gale said several Sundays ago, when all those children stood up here at Christmas, a tremendous responsibility. They don't yet know the Lord. But I believe if we'll be what we're supposed to be and bless His name the way that Hannah's blessed His name and boast in our God, not in ourselves, I believe the day will come that God will let us see these children come to know the Lord. Watch this. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Hadn't been too long ago, the Lord reminded me of a truth. Listen to me carefully right here. And I think maybe in a Saturday morning visitation I may have shared this, but I'm going to share a preacher's heart for just a moment about children and dealing with children. I believe you can talk a child most of the time into about anything. And I do not believe that's right. I believe just like when God began to speak to Samuel, my friend, Samuel was hunting Eli. It wasn't Eli hunting Samuel. How many knows the difference? But I'm going to tell you something else. I believe that until that time comes, listen to me carefully, that child is not saved, but that child is safe. You say, preacher, you got Bible for that? How about this? God told David, he said, you can't bring him back, but you can go be with him. That tells me where he's at. That youngin was with the Lord. You say, how you know David is? Read Hebrews chapter number 11. Amen. So I don't believe you ought to be trying to pump and prime and my friend twist their arm to do something they're not ready to do. But I'll tell you something right now. When God gets the finger around their heart, I'm not going to stand in their way. I'm not going to stand in their way. If a youngin understands what sin is, and God has spoken to that youngin's heart about sin, and they're carrying that guilt, and they're carrying that shame, let me just go ahead and say something else. Peradventure, listen to me carefully. Maybe a youngin has gone through the motion somewhere or another and didn't understand altogether. You're looking at a preacher that don't believe God's going to hold that again, that youngin. You say you got Bible for that? Yeah, Cornelius. Brother Ricky was doing all that he knew to do. His alms and his prayers had come up to God for memorial. He was doing all that he knew to do. He was acting on all the light that he had. But God said, I want Peter to go. Peter, go on down there to the house of Cornelius. God said, I'm going to send that man some more light. I can see his heart. I know he wants the truth. And God sent Cornelius, the apostle Peter, that he might understand the way of God more fully, that he might be saved. I don't know. But my Bible said, suffer ye the little children to come unto me. And if you're 60 years old and you get saved, you'll have to become as a little child in order to get saved. Is that right or is that wrong? You'll have to humble yourself just like a little child depends on his mother and depends on his father to depend on the God of heaven. You'll have to do that. Samuel here, God is speaking to Samuel. Samuel runs to Eli. Two. And then the Lord twice. And then in verse number 8, the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and he went to Eli and he said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And now listen, Eli had a little bit of discernment. And he perceived that it was the Lord that was talking to Samuel. I'm just going to say something tonight. The Lord doesn't talk to us in an audible voice. He could if he wanted to, but he honors faith. He talks to us in the Word of God. He talks to us through the preaching. He talks to us through the prayers of others. He speaks to our heart. But none of us ever came to Christ without He initiated it. And He spoke to our heart. All of grace is my story. Amen. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Watch what the Bible said. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. He arose, went to Eli. Here am I. For thou didst call me, and Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go, lie down. And it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. God's going to take this youngin' and immediately pronounce judgment in the house of Eli because of what is allowed with his sons. He said, preacher, you believe God can do that? God can do whatever God wants to do. He's God. What he does will never be contrary to this book. This book will always back up what he's doing. But I want you to know tonight that God said, not only is there a burden, and not only is there a birth, and not only is there a blessing, and not only is there boasting, but in this story tonight, there's a new birth. There's another birth. I made a statement this morning. It's harsh. I know it's harsh, but it's the truth. It'd be better for little Olivia to have never been born. There's my little buddy Jason. My little buddy back there, Owen. It'd be better that they'd never been born than for them to leave this world without Jesus. I wonder what people are thinking sometimes when they treat our responsibility as the people of God so lightly, when so much is in the balance. They're watching us, Brother Randy. I didn't know, Miss Eve told me, I didn't know that Connor was on his way, and I didn't see him, and I guess Connor must have been in here somewhere, and I turned and went to the pulpit. I thank God for a wife. She whispered to Connor and said, go on up there, honey, it won't bother a thing. I didn't even know he was back there and had been left behind. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I'll just go ahead and tell you publicly. If that bothered you, the problem's yours, not mine. It's not mine. I was asked for 10 years while I was preaching to heathen in the prisons. Are you listening? I was asked for 10 years. Do you miss pastoring? Do you miss pastoring? My answer was always this. There's one thing I miss about pastoring, and that's the youngins. I say, thank God for the youngins. Thank God for the youngins. If we lose sight of that, a lot of people make statements like, well, they're the church of tomorrow. I'm going to tell you something. If they're not the church today, there'll be no church tomorrow. You can mark that down. We have a great responsibility, Brother Houston, to work together, labor together, pray together, and love one another. Lift up high the blood-stained banner. And stay in the straight and narrow way. We have a great responsibility. I believe with all my heart, the Lord will help us to make a difference. I'm going to say this to the teenagers tonight. Y'all have a great responsibility too. There's some little ladies around this place looking up to you. There's some little boys around this place looking up to you. You say, preacher, I don't want them looking up to me. Don't matter whether you want them looking up or not. They're looking up. They're looking up. And we all have a responsibility to serve the Lord with gladness, magnify the Lord in our lives, and to realize that every good and perfect gift he's given it to us, it comes down from the Father of lights. Sister Teresa and Brother Sam, they're looking up to you. You can't help it. You can't help it, Brother Sam. They're looking up to you. Brother Jeff and Sister Janet, you might not have signed on for it, but it's too late now. They're looking up to you.
Amen.
I was thinking this morning when I went in the Sunday school class where little Brian was, his daddy speaks Spanish fluently, and how I need to get Frankie over there at his daddy's house and get him invited over here to this church service that's going on Monday night. So he could hear the Word of God, have a copy of the Word of God in his own language. Some of you maybe wasn't here Wednesday night when Brother Brian told it, but the first night they had 10. That was including his wife and three children. The second Monday night they had 18. That was excluding his wife and three children. I say to God be the glory, there ain't many groups growing like that.
Amen.
How we need to pray for them. God, just keep building lives, one life at a time. I was excited yesterday. They didn't do it because the snow came yesterday morning, but they were scheduled to go out with flyers and go out visiting. Wonder where they learned that. If you want to see God do something, then we need to work. Work. Work while it's day, because the night's coming when no man can work. One old preacher said, He said, we ought to pray as if everything depends on God. And then he said, we ought to work as if everything depends on us. If you put them two together, something's going to get done for the glory of God. Amen. He said, well, preacher, I thought we were saved by faith. We are. But we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. How many's got a little help from Hannah today? She was a godly woman, wasn't she? How much God did it take to take her boy down to the house of God? Say, Lord. Oh, let me read you something real quick. Watch this. Watch this. Where's it at? I knew it was. It's here. It's got to be here somewhere. Help me, Jesus, to find it. Oh, my goodness. Oh, look at verse 21, chapter number 2. Praise the Lord. Watch this. And the Lord visited Hannah. That's after she prayed and he told about those evil sons of Eli. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. I just had to throw that in there. You say, preacher, what's going on in your heart? How about this? He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. According to the power of the work, she just asked for one. God, just give me one. And God said, I'm going to do better than that, honey. I'm going to give you 5 more along the way. Amen. To God be the glory. Sometimes I think He just wants us to know He's still God. He's still good. He knows what we need. But He said, go ahead and ask. Go ahead and ask. You get over there at the end of the book of Job, and if you'll study those oxen and sheep and all that in the first part of the book of Job, over there in the last chapter of the book of Job, God doubles it. You can study it now. He doubles it. But one person, I don't think it would be in a smart aleck, said, well, he didn't double his children. That's exactly right, brother. He just gave him 10 children. No, no, no. He had 10 in glory and 10 on earth. 10 plus 10 is 20 if you go to the right school. I'm not sure they're going to come up with that in this country before long. Say amen. He had 10 in heaven, 10 on earth, and God doubled his children. God doubled everything that he had because God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. I'm just glad you come tonight. Hannah's a precious lady in the Word of God. I want to be more like her. I want to pray more like her. I want to believe God more like her. Amen. And I pray that God will touch our hearts tonight. Because children are heritage of the Lord. Paul said, I think it was over there in one of the Timothys, I think it's 1 Timothy chapter 1, and I won't get this exactly right, but the thought is that God entrusted him with the gospel. God gave him the gospel and trusted him with it. Trusted him with it. Can I say something to us as a church? God's given us these children, Brother Eddie, and trusted us with them. God, help us not to betray his trust. He has trusted us. Trusted us here at Bible Way. A church that doesn't have children, and a church that doesn't have teenagers, and a church that doesn't have young couples, and couples in the middle. I don't even know where I fit anymore. At Hardee's, I'm a senior citizen now, but at Mama's house, I got 5 more years. I don't know what I am. Amen. God gives us senior citizens, but a church without them youngins is a dying church. Mark her down. A church that gets the attitude them youngins is in the way is in trouble with God. We're trying to help them youngins to get in the way, aren't we? Amen. The bright and shining way. The glory land way. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for these that have come. Thank you for our visitors tonight, Lord. God, I know tonight, Lord, you have stirred my heart all week, Lord. Children are a gift from God. They're the heritage of the Lord. And God, we pray tonight that you'd help us to be responsible as a pastor and as a people to train up the children in the way they should go. Lord, the church can never take the place of the home. But Lord, as far as the things of God go, all that some of these children are going to get, they're going to get at church. Thank you for the godly homes. Thank you, Lord, where the church is just scotching everything that mom and dad's teaching at home. I pray, God, tonight, keep your hand on us. Help us, Lord, to look forward with joy to the day, Lord, when these children grow up and trust you as their Savior. Father, tonight, I don't know what's going on in hearts and in lives. Lord, there may be people even here tonight that don't know Jesus. Lord, to know him is life eternal. To know him is peace and joy unspeakable and full of glory. To know him is love unbounding. God, I pray tonight, speak to hearts.